Hello, America. It's Friday. We're glad you're here. We have two people that joined us yesterday from the audience. We said, who is willing to watch the debate and then come back and report on all of it? You know, Stu, he watched it, of course, you know.
And you did, too.
Yeah, of course I did. What are you crazy? So Darren and Gabrielle watched it, so you didn't have to. One of them gave us a one sheet, and the other one gave us a 4-page outline plus a 3-page op-ed. One of these people is going to be making more than the other, I think, when we get down to it. We'll talk to Darren and Gabrielle when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to bring Darren and Gabrielle. Darren is from Florida. Hello, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, good, good. Did you enjoy yourself last night?
I couldn't put it into words.
Yeah, right. $100 was not enough, was it?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't. Gabrielle is in Pennsylvania. And Gabrielle, you're a student, right?
I just graduated, sir, from Grove City College.
Okay. And you're in Pennsylvania. And what do you want to do with your life again?
Well, I am trying to create a career in media and public and political education. So although I want to pursue graduate study, I currently am the editor-in-chief of the Unvarnished blog, where I'm trying to share some strong and solid political analysis you can trust, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay. So take a guess, Stu, which one of these gave us one sheet of analysis and the other one gave me 4 pages of very comprehensive notes, including a grading system in 4 different categories for each of them and a 3-page editorial.
I'm on the fence on this one. I don't know. It's very difficult to
decipher.
Darren,
guess which one is you?
I'm guessing I gave you the summary.
Yeah, you gave us the 1-page summary. And kids, I just want you to know, this is the way the world works. Darren is a man, so he's going to make $100. Gabrielle is a woman. We're paying her $76.
Even after this workload.
Even after all this work. Okay, so let me go back and forth with both of you. First of all, was there a winner in your eyes if you were a Democrat watching this? Let's start with Darren, and then I'll go to you, Gabrielle.
I did not see a clear winner.
Okay. Gabrielle.
I agree with Darren. I didn't see a clear winner. However, the person who I thought lost the least was Elizabeth Warren.
Okay. Let's go back and forth. Tell me your analysis, starting with Darren, on Biden last night. What'd you think?
Other than the one comment where he kind of confused me about the record player and everything, I thought he, throughout the pretty much the whole night, he had really good energy, good passion, and he seemed to do a lot better when responding to attacks directly to him.
And Gabrielle, I've read your 4 pages. You disagree?
Yes, sir, I do. I do not believe he handles himself well under the attacks from Julian Castro. I think he made at least one blunder every time he spoke, and I also didn't appreciate how when the moderators tried to cut him off, everybody else on the stage continued with their point and finished their thought, where Biden just abruptly ended. I think that hurt him significantly.
So do either of you think that his I say this with the knowledge that he has had 2 aneurysms. One, they did not think he'd be able to speak again, and it's happened recently. They had to cut his head open, and they didn't think he would have the ability to speak. He has recovered. I don't think that he's senile. I think he's had an aneurysm, and it has affected his speech center. Would either of you think that he's close, if he was in your family, to the family saying, hey, Grandpa, we got to take the keys from you on the car? Darren.
I have it just kind of baked into his personality that, being his age, that's the way it's going to be. But yes, I would have some concerns. Yeah.
Gabrielle?
I definitely would have some concerns. I think Joe Biden is the lovable grandpa of the bunch, and that it would be, hey, grandpa, let me drive you instead of you driving yourself. I don't think he's really capable of handling himself any longer in the policy space.
Okay, so tell me about, let's go to Kamala Harris. How did she do? Darren first.
She, way too many zingers, be it against Trump or just in general. But she did direct her attacks more so specifically at Trump as opposed to the rest of the Democratic field.
And Gabrielle?
I agree with Darren that she did make herself very strongly anti-Trump. However, I don't think she did a decent enough job in defining herself as what she is for. All the other candidates seemed to define their platforms, but where Harris, it just made her platform solely anti-Trump.
So let me go to the attack on Biden. And your reaction to this attack from Julian Castro. Play the audio,
they wouldn't
please.
Have to buy in. That's a big difference, because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would
they
not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe.
Then he looks to Bernie Sanders and says, "What did he say?"
That they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
So I think this makes Castro absolutely toxic. Agree or disagree?
I agree.
100% agree.
Did not make him come off very good, making Biden enemy number one.
Yeah. And let me go to another crowd pleaser, if you will. Let's go to Beto, where Beto was talking about, you know, confiscation of guns. Here's this moment.
The high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body, because it was designed to do that, so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Darren, your thought on that?
I just thought it was just red meat, throwing it out there for everybody.
Do you think he doesn't mean it?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely means it. I don't think he would be able to do it initially, but I think that's just his main focus, his main point for the whole night, and just kind of threw that out there.
How do you think there wasn't a single person really on the stage that disagreed with that in spirit. Nobody was the, you know, reasonable Democrat saying, hey, you know, I'm a member of the NRA or my dad was. And there was no happy gun talk that usually preceded stuff like this. Nobody was saying, we're not going to come for your guns. How did that play, do you think, Darren?
I just think they're, you know, just the Overton window. Just keep going further and further and take a little bit progressively.
Gabrielle, your thoughts?
Well, I think it was very interesting that when it was in response to Kamala Harris's decision to support a mandatory buyback of assault weapons via executive order, Biden came out saying can't do that constitutionally. It was very interesting to see how quickly he was shut down, not only by the other candidates, but also by the moderators. I think that speaks just to the radicalism of the entire Democratic Party right now.
Including the press. One last thought. Is there anyone that you saw last night and you had a gun to your head and you had to vote for one of them, who do you think could do the least amount of damage?
Wow. I'm thinking maybe Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't agree with all of his policies, but I think it would be the least worst policymaker.
And Gabrielle?
I would have to say Andrew Yang. I don't know necessarily enough about him. However, he seemed definitely to be the only candidate on that stage who supported any type of entrepreneurial values, any type of capitalist values. You could see that incorporated into a variety of elements of his platform. So as a capitalist, I would have to vote Andrew Yang.
Yeah, I will tell you, Andrew Yang, they laughed at him on his closing where he was saying, I'm going to give $1,000 a month to 12 people. And if you think you can control your life better, tell me why you think this $1,000. And what he's doing is he's coming up with universal basic income, which doesn't work. They test it over and over and over again, and it just doesn't work. He was laughed at that. And what he was saying was really kind of good. You are responsible for your own life. While he was touting universal basic income, he was saying, we've got to get this government back in the hands of the people. One last, opposite, who's the most dangerous?
I would say Bernie.
Definitely Bernie, isn't it?
Gabrielle?
Ideologically, I would agree with Darren that Bernie Sanders is the worst. However, in terms of who has the actual chance to win, I think Elizabeth Warren is the most dangerous. She has very similar views to Sanders. However, she is in a package that can appeal to a large section of the American public.
Gabrielle and Darren, thank you so much. You guys are both great, and I appreciate it. Do we have the picture of Gabrielle's campaign headquarters? Did we get that picture, Bowie? Yeah, here she is. Look at this. Here's Darren's. We have that picture. Yeah, there's Darren's. It's a lazy boy. Guys, thank you.
Hey, can we post your notes and stuff on glennbeck.com?
Absolutely, please do.
Darren?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah.
Are you even listening to us anymore?
I am listening, and yes, you can post.
Okay, good. Okay. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. Hang on the phone. We'll make sure that you get your paycheck, your first paycheck from Glenn Beck.
And just remember, because of your gender, you'll be making less, Gabrielle.
Yeah, we're going to say we're going to pay you, but we're not really paying you equally.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you get 36 bucks. Mm-hmm. Friday the 13th. Here it is. Can you imagine... A horror film. Now, they'll just go with me because it's Friday the 13th. A horror film where Hannibal Lecter just is borrowing a guy's face for a while. You get it back. Doesn't really work, right?
Did he buy it back? If he bought it back.
He bought it back. My face isn't for sale. Yeah, we're going to buy it back for 20 bucks. Wait a minute. Listen to this. This is from that editorial that Gabrielle wrote. She says, in comparison to VP Biden and Senator Sanders, Warren came across as trustworthy and a qualified contender. Maintaining her characteristic staunch, stiff demeanor, Warren balances a persona of classical diplomatic politician with a radical agenda of fundamentally transforming the American economy and government. Although far from the ideological mainstream, Warren presents herself as a clear foil to President Trump's hasty, flamboyant style, giving her a significant edge to the average American voter who is weary of Trump's governance by game show. More importantly, however, is the unfortunate reality that Americans are looking to trust their national leaders again. According to Gallup's longitudinal study of trust in government, only 41% of Americans in January 2019 had at least a fair amount of trust in the federal government, down 10% from 2016. Warren's understated self-confidence has the capacity to command trust if people are willing to listen to her message. With her continued battle cry of necessary reforms in every sphere of life, ranging from listening to unionists to environmentalists and shaping the trade policy to universal child care and education from birth to the university, Warren clearly conveys the message of I am government and I am here to help. And that is true. That's why she's saying, I have a plan for everything.
Can you just read some from Darren's op-ed?
I don't have that one yet. I don't have that.
Are you sure? Because
yeah, no.
Still gets more money, though, than her, right?
I have Warren disappeared for a while after her first healthcare segment.
I will say that was true. that was a good observation.
Yeah, it was. There's also some other stats that are interesting. The Democrats are always pointing to the future, and we have said this over and over and over again. Look, how are these people going to take us into the future when one of the guys leading it is talking about, make sure you put on the phonograph for the kiddos when you get home? Wait a minute, what? Well, Stu found a really interesting, not survey, but historic fact about who wins in the Democratic election when there is a Republican incumbent.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to summarize it. The last time a Democratic non-incumbent that was over 52 years old won the presidency. Okay, so, you know, obviously a president running again is a different story, but a non-incumbent running for the Democrats that was over 52 years old, the last one that won, Woodrow Wilson. Every other Democratic candidate that has run and been over 55 years old has lost. And everyone that has been under 52 years old has won.
Which makes
sense. Since 1960, I think, yeah.
If you're saying, we're the future, we're the future. Because you look at that and it just, you know, we're tired of these old ideas. That guy's been in Congress since 1972. You know, it just doesn't compute. And it's why they thought that, you know, Beto would be so great. But who does that leave? Who's under 52 on this field? Harris, Klobuchar, Buttigieg.
Yep. He's 11.
Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Beto is mentally 8.
Yeah. Does that count?
Right. But Warren is not.
No, I know. What is really interesting, and the one thing I think helping Warren here, is there are multiple candidates older than her, so people are forgetting that she's just as old as Hillary Clinton, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old is Warren? Can we look that up?
She does. Marissa? She doesn't look it, though.
No, she looks younger than Hillary.
Yeah.
But she's basically the same age. And, you know, you have Bernie, who is almost the same.
As Biden.
70. She's older than Clinton. Clinton was 69 when she ran. So, you know, I mean, she's not older than Clinton at this moment, but she's older.
She looks like a fun, nice grandma.
She's 70. Biden is 76? What's his face? Sanders is 78. Okay, Biden 78.
No.
76. And Sanders is 78.
Yeah, he's older.
I mean, really? I mean, I know Mike Gravel dropped out. He's only 89.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they should go back to that well, because, I mean, this is...
It's crazy.
And it hasn't worked for Democrats in the past.
Right.
Because, that idea that this... supposed to inspire change. You want someone, I guess, younger to do that.
In that pool.
Yeah.
You know, the World War II era is over with Jack Kennedy. Welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you have tuned in. This is the third most listened to show in all of America. We're glad that you are... you're one of those underachievers with us. Number one tries so hard and everybody's trying to stab him in the back. Number two, of course, we learned from Avis, has to try harder. Number three just kind of skates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just kind of drifting right behind number two and just kind of letting them do all the work. And if that's who you are, you're in the right place. Welcome to it.
Maybe that's what's keeping you out of the Radio Hall of Fame. Have you
well, it could be that, or I was told by the head of the Radio Hall of Fame, you will never be in this. And, it could be that.
And so far, that prediction has come true.
Yeah.
So that's...
I think I'm the only national broadcaster not in the Hall of Fame.
Here's some comfort, though. The Fabulous Sports Babe is in. So that's a little comfort.
Yeah. How's Foreigner doing on your Hall of Fame?
This is interesting because maybe my years of hard work and persistence have finally paid off.
No difference.
According to a couple of websites.
Oh, a couple of websites.
Cleveland.com.
Ah,
okay. Not just any downstream website. That's Cleveland.com.
Yeah.
And UltimateClassicRock.com. They have both predicted that Foreigner will be nominated this year, and they both believe they'll get in.
Because you have to be there.
I have to. I gotta go to Cleveland for that if it happens.
You have to be there.
Yes.
You have to.
You should do the whole week of shows from the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Can you believe
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Can you believe that the Doobie Brothers are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
This is the Doobie Brothers. You're the only person I know who's fascinated by this. It's incredible. I've never heard anyone care about who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, including most of the artists when they're inducted.
They don't seem that excited about it, do they? They barely show up for it themselves.
Because it's in Cleveland. No offense, Cleveland.
I love Cleveland. I think it's a great town.
It is.
A great town.
But still, that doesn't mean that...
But it's also the home, I believe, of the Bowling Hall of Fame.
Is it?
Yes, I think it is. Look it up. I think it is.
I am not aware of that.
Yeah.
But that's very prestigious if it is.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, is beautiful. It's great.
Yeah, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
It's an impressive building.
It is.
They don't care. I think they care.
Yeah, I think they try to downplay it.
Yeah. You care.
Like Paul McCartney is in there three times. And when he heard that Ringo was not in there, he called Ringo and he said, "Can you believe you're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist?" And Ringo's like, "No, I didn't know that." And so he's like, "Do
Why
you want to
sound like Al Gore?"
I don't know. That was weird. Yeah. He was just having an off day.
Al Gore,
I think.
Did you know you weren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
He had just seen An Inconvenient Truth.
Right.
Like, well, we'll have to do something about that, Paul.
Guys, I got some really good news here.
Yeah.
I believe the Bowling Museum is in Arlington, Texas.
Shut up.
Down the street.
Wait.
No, that's Bowling Museum. I'm looking for the Bowling Hall of Fame.
The Bowling Museum and Hall of Fame.
Shut up. I thought it was in Cleveland.
Wow. So that is pretty impressive.
That's
very
impressive.
Cleveland, how did you lose that?
Got my afternoon planned. I'll tell you that.
Going directly from here to there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd like to go right now.
Okay, so I went bowling with my family. You know, my wife, she said, I don't want anything. So I got her Cafe Rio, which, by the way...
Mm.
Was a home run, I just want to say. The second thing is...
You know, that's from the same family, by the way. I know.
Shut up. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't...
All right.
I'm not the fan of it. She is. She's like got the... I'm telling you, they do something to women. When they walk into a Cafe Rio, they put something in the salad dressing or they hypnotize them or something. But women are crazy about Cafe Rio.
Have you had it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
like
good,
but
it doesn't change my life.
Right, doesn't.
Right.
Women are all, they go crazy, crazy over it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but, you know, whatever. So so we went bowling because she's like, I don't want anything. And I said, okay, what do you want? I just want to spend time with family. You need to go bowling. Okay, so we're going bowling. So we went bowling. There was me, Mary, Rafe, Cheyenne. Now, they're teenagers and above. There was Hannah, Tim, he's 30, me and Tanya, and then the two little ones. My grandson, who is 3, beat all of us.
Really?
Yeah. This is really horrible. He had the high score of 61.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody.
No one.
Nobody rolled higher than 61.
No one rolled higher than 61. I was not called in. I did not.
Wow.
I'm proud to say I don't have a score. It may have been lower than that, but I was the bench warmer.
This is embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Are you sure you didn't bowl and get
61.
A 12?
No, I did.
Are you sure?
I got the only strike. I bowled once for my son, and I got a strike. But 61.
Did it have the bumper pads in the alleys?
No. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did.
Yeah.
Like Tanya's didn't, Rafe's didn't. But, you know, some of the teenagers, I think Hannah even may have used bumpers. And she couldn't beat 61.
You can't beat 61 with bumpers?
I don't even know how it happened.
No, it's bad. Your family's a mess.
Yeah.
Real
Your family's a mess.
You don't...
Yeah.
if things come down to a sporting event, if the world has ever decided on, you know what, we're going to go, China's going to take over. Yeah, well, it's going to be decided by a bowl off. Make sure we're nowhere near any kind of sporting event. Not good.
That's unbelievable. The bowling alleys now are no longer like they used to be. Like, I went to one when I was a kid, and we would go, and, you know, it's like they had the big plastic, like, pitchers of beer.
Yeah, you can get a beer.
And it was smelled like a bowling alley, right?
It smelled like beer.
Yeah.
Beer and
cigarettes.
Beer.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe you had an arcade room.
Yeah,
like,
that's maybe, maybe. But those were sketchy.
Yeah, yeah, and they're very sketchy and very dirty. Now there's, like, you know, it's really good food. They've got automatic bumpers that pop out.
Really?
They've got different games.
Oh, you've not played in the new
bowl? I haven't.
It's like,
oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. It's really
good. Yeah, I don't bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't really bowl for the same reason.
Yeah, the back.
Yeah, you're just like, ow! Mm-hmm. Hospital.
Yeah. I know, it is amazing that you, every time I go, I wind up hurting myself.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm swinging my arm. Bowling is swinging your arm. It should not be.
It's really not.
The type of, what?
It's really not. It's more than that. It is more than that. You know, like curling is just sweeping the floor.
No, it's not. That's, you got to ice skate at the same time.
No, okay, so ice skating. You're sweeping the floor.
You
on
can ice.
Ice
skate, but you can't bowl over a 61.
I didn't say I could ice skate, but you're not all ice skating. One of them just has to kneel down and just be pushed by the other ones or just get a running fall. So he's pushing with the rock, and
that's
then
true.
The other ones sweep.
And they're not actually ice skating, right? They have shoes on.
Yeah,
yeah.
They don't ice skate.
Ice skate, but you're slipping on the ice.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like they sort of shuffle down
slip.
The ice.
Yeah.
That's a stupid sport.
Oh, yeah. It's.
I mean, that's obviously.
Canada should be embarrassed.
Yeah, that's like Canada. That's just Canada, like, I don't know.
We give up.
What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's.
Push a stone down the ice, eh?
Let's go to the lake and hope we all don't fall in.
How many people died as they tried to invent curling? I mean, you're putting a rock on the ice? Like, that's someone who wanted to kill the person who was
very
playing.
Dangerous.
And who came up with a broom? You know what would make this better? Is if we made it a little neater. We just broom some of this stuff out of its way. That'd be great. Doesn't sound like a fun crowd.
No, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No. All right, Pat, any thoughts before you go into the weekend?
Well, I have purchased a record player so that I can catch up on my words.
Right. Okay, yeah. That's really good.
I'm just 1,940,000 words short now of where I need to be.
Right.
Which, I didn't even realize until last night I was short on words, but now I figured it out.
Short on words and some of the best words, and a record player is really going to be, what is it, one of those Disney books that's reading stories? Bing! And he turned the record over.
If any of those people win, America, just on sheer stupidity for voting for them, is done. You forget their policies. How can you watch what we saw last night and then vote for one of those buffoons?
It is a bad group.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it is a bad group.
There is nobody you can look at and say, well, okay, if Trump loses, that wouldn't be so bad. There's nobody like that.
I mean, I think no. Wait. Take your mindset out of policy. You could look at Elizabeth Warren and go, she's competent. She's not crazy.
But and if you didn't know any of her policies,
or if you didn't have a problem with socialism,
yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
I think but you wouldn't say that.
I hope.
Yeah,
I hope.
But you don't. But Bernie Sanders. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
just
crazy.
A miserable human being.
Really bad. And then Joe Biden, there is something
wrong with
physically
him.
Wrong with him.
Yeah.
And I don't say that with great joy. There is something wrong with him.
And you are a doctor.
I am a doctor. I am a doctor. So thank you for reminding me of that and the audience. Kamala Harris, you could look at and go, well, she's kind of like me, you know.
If you didn't know, again, the policy, right?
Right, right. So there are some.
I think the one, if you're just looking at the person and who sounds the most sane, I'd have to go with Buttigieg.
I'd go with Yang, I think.
Would you?
I think I would.
Yang is, I think his policies are better than a lot of the other candidates. You know, if you're going to go just, and again, his policies are terrible.
It's
like an F or an F minus. But he comes off weird to me. for some reason. I've heard him in long form interviews where he's very likable, but like on this, he's doing all these sticky. I'm going to give $10,000 to 10 families every month. Wow! He's literally launching a contest in the middle of a debate. It's just weird, and he
kind of smart though when you're trying to qualify for the next debate. He's just looking for donors.
Yeah, well, he's already in for the next debate, though.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, everyone, like, dismisses Yang. He's in, I believe, sixth place when it comes to the polling. Sixth. He's ahead of Bob Frank at O'Rourke at this point. He's ahead of Gabbard. He's ahead of Steyer. He's ahead of Castro. He's ahead of Klobuchar. I think he's sixth. I think he's ahead of Booker, too. Which gives you only Buttigieg, Harris, Warren, Sanders, and Biden, who are
and
ahead
I have
of him
to tell
in polling.
You, I think Buttigieg and Yang... I think those two have in common the one thing of, we're not totally crazy. I'm taking policies away.
Yeah.
We're not totally crazy. We're kind of like you.
And
you know,
I think they
kinda...
sense the rest of the field is totally nuts. They know that
the
they're stark raising, raving nuts.
Yeah. I think you're willing to, go with Grandpa, who we can't let drive. In Biden, don't give him. He will drive that car right through the front wall of the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So they're willing to go with that because we've all dealt with a crazy grandpa, and he'll just maybe he'll be kind of quiet, and he'll be one of those popes that didn't really do anything. It's better than a really crazy pope.
One of the dark popes.
One of the dark popes. Yeah. One of the dark popes.
I'm kind of
racist.
Amazed at Buttigieg's ability to just disappear, though. Like this is a guy. He'd be the first gay president, right? He is a mayor. He's 37 or 8 years old, or maybe he's 12 years old. He's something. He's very young. He has kind of an amazing story. He seems, as you point out, Pat, he seems to be maybe the smartest of the candidates, and also...
And he actually served the country.
He served the country, maybe. And he just, gets in these debates, and he's just a giant zero. He doesn't hurt himself. Sometimes with the religion stuff, he's so bad on that. I will say that's incredibly offensive to anyone who actually cares about their faith. But other than that,
good thing none of us do, right?
Exactly.
Nobody believes in stuff.
Ask that, make that point in that room, and you probably will get that reaction.
That's exactly what they would say.
But I mean, like, this is a guy who should have a dynamic story, and he just disappears. He doesn't get helped or hurt. He just always around the same spot.
You heard what came out of the Blaze with what's her name? The crazy woman,
Marianne Williamson.
Did you hear what Eric Bowling got off mic?
Yeah, I saw that.
Let me play that for you. Let me take a break and I'll come back and play this. It's pretty incredible. And I think that explains the Buttigieg kind of phenomena that you feel right now. So we were talking about Buttigieg and how he just can't get his, just can't get his story out, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's just because the media plays favorites and the media chooses, and you see this a little bit. Eric Bowling had, what's her name again? Marianne Williamson on his show for Sinclair Broadcasting. And after the interview, Sinclair just kept running the microphones and the cameras, and she made quite an amazing statement as she just kind of leaned over and was just kind of sitting there at the counter. Here's what she said.
What does it say that Fox News is nicer to me than the lefties are?
I'm sorry?
What does it say that the conservatives are nicer to me?
It's a bizarre world, man.
It's such a bizarre world. You know, I'm such a lefty. I mean, I'm a serious lefty. But they're so... I understand why people on the right call them godless. I mean, it's like... I didn't think the left was as mean as the right. They are.
Well, I'm just right. So, Marianne Williams...
So, bizarre. Bizarre. And yet, that I think we're finding out on all sides. I think that there are these packs that... play for keeps that look at themselves as the gatekeepers, where I don't think that the average person, now this is not the extremes, I'm not talking about the left, I'm talking about the Democrats, Democrats are not like that in their own hometown, and neither are Republicans in their own hometown. But the system just destroys you, especially the left.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.